Well, good morning from me. Our second reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My Bible, that's page 1164. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll be looking at this passage in the sermon immediately afterwards as well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, you have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we're thinking about giving. And just so you know, as a church, giving is part of Christian discipleship. So it's something we want to talk about. It's right to talk about. We don't hammer on about it all the time. And we normally have a sermon on this topic about once a year, just so we're aware of that. So if you happen to be with us today for the first time, we don't talk about this every week. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you that as we love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, that touches on every part of our lives, and that includes how we give generously to the church and elsewhere as well. So we pray, Father, that you'll help us to grow in that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think often Christians can have quite a strange relationship with money. We know that money shouldn't be a big deal to us, but it often feels like a big deal. We all know the temptation to love it, or perhaps more accurately, the temptation to love the things that it can get us. We know that it can be dangerous, how it can sometimes draw us away from God. And when we're perhaps feeling particularly close to Jesus, we remember how it can be used for great good. But it's not long before our heart starts tugging us in another direction. I think we can easily have quite a strange relationship with cash. And despite the Bible giving many, many warnings about money, at the same time, is very clear that it's not necessarily wrong. It can be a blessing from God. And most importantly of all, how we use it can be really pleasing to God, and why we use it that way. In 2 Corinthians here, where we just landed today, this morning, we've got two chapters, particularly on giving away money. And I wonder, as you sort of think, oh, crikey, we've got a sermon on giving this morning, do you think, I wish I'd stayed in bed today? Or are you going to settle down for a little snooze in your chairs and do that magic trick of keeping your eyes open while mentally turned off? Or perhaps you're getting ready for that guilt trip that you might think could be coming your way. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, by definition, that means we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be calling the shots in every part of our life. The whole of our lives, that includes our giving, includes our cash. And therefore, we should actually want to hear what God has to say about this. It shouldn't be a sort of, ooh, keep it away from me. We should recognise that we need to hear from God and what he has to say in this area, just like any part of life. And if you're a visitor here with this morning, or somebody who's looking into Christianity and Jesus, let me say something really clearly. We don't want your money, if that is you. Christian giving to support the work of God's church is for Christians. Please don't turn off either. Why not listen in and see what it looks like, one aspect of what Christian life looks like for God's people. You might be surprised on a number of fronts. One last point before we get going though this morning. As I think hopefully many of us are aware, financially here at Cornerstone, God has wonderfully provided for us in the last 18 months. Way beyond what I think many of us thought was possible. And he has done that through you guys. God has provided, and so a huge thank you to the church family here at Cornerstone and for God, and to God for making generous hearts possible. Thank you to everybody who gives regularly to Cornerstone. It really does help us as we plan for the future. But God has also done this through individuals and some churches who support the ministry, and they don't live in Grays or Thurrock, and they're just supporting us because they want to support Cornerstone. Yeah, and just a couple of weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, we had a surprise one-off gift of £2,000. It came out of nowhere. Like, whoa, isn't God great? So God has provided wonderfully. But that has been through the normal ways. You know, I mean, people giving. But at one level, I don't know about you, but it's felt miraculous that God has provided for us in such ways. And it is great thanks to him. So as I preach this morning, there isn't a desperate need to raise cash. So I'm not going to be trying to hammer people into doing any of that. I won't try to hammer people into any of that anyway. But there's no extra need for finance, which is fantastic. But at the same time, as a church, we are relying on support from outside the church family to cover our costs. So there is a prayerful need for God to look to God to grow our church and to grow our giving in the coming months and years. So, 2 Corinthians. And here, Paul is writing to the Christians in the city called Corinth. And part of this letter is about giving. And you see, Paul had promised that the Christians in Jerusalem, where there was a famine going on, there was a poverty and extreme suffering. And Paul has said, actually, some of the churches from elsewhere, and these are particularly Gentile churches, that I'm sure they'd want to help. They'd want to help provide. And here's chapters 8 and 9, and Paul is writing to the Corinthians, helping to organise that gift. And the focus here is actually particularly on relieving hunger and poverty. But elsewhere in God's word, we do know that giving can include helping the poor. It can help missionaries such as Paul and other people. It can help in supporting the work of the church. So there's three types of giving. And what we learn from 2 Corinthians here this morning actually applies to all those types. So first of all, first point this morning, giving comes from God's resources. Please look with me at verse 6. We get to the Bible eventually, eh? Verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, this verse is misused, sadly, by some churches here in the UK and in other parts of the world, with the idea that if you give lots to God, that God will make you rich and give you even more back. The more you reap, the more you sow. But Paul doesn't leave verse 6 unexplained. Please look with me at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The reaping here clearly isn't just straight cash. It's every good work. Or verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of what? Your righteousness. That is a million miles away, isn't it, from bigger, flashier cars or nicer holidays or whatever it happens to be. Did you notice who gives the seed to the sower? Verse 10 again. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It's God, isn't it? It's It's God who's giving to these people. And therefore, when Christians give, they're not giving out of their own resources. They're giving out of what God has already given them. We give from God's resources, not our own. And this is really important. Because if you work for a business or a charity and you're making decisions about spending, it's much easier, isn't it, to be generous with other people's money when we don't even think of it as ours. The problem is when we come back to our own giving, we often think actually the money is ours. I mean, we've gone to work, we got it from the pay packet or the pension or whatever it happens to be, and it feels like our money. It looks like we've earned it. And God does use those means to provide, but ultimately, it does come from God. Even when it feels like ours, will we say to ourselves, will we preach to our hearts, who does this cash really belong to? God. And therefore, when we're giving away, we're not giving away our own resources, we're giving away God's. And if this reality was to sink into our hearts and minds further, it will be as if God is removing a barrier which makes generous giving so difficult for us sometimes. And we have been given loads, haven't we? We need to be honest, here in Grays, we're not loaded with wealth compared to perhaps other towns and people around by, but we are massively wealthy compared to the majority of the world's population. Ultimately, it's not ours. We give from what we have already been given. But then next, giving comes from the heart. Please look with me at verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So as we give, we don't give with the idea that I'm going to give, I don't want to give. But we force ourselves to. You know what I mean? Children do that sometimes, don't they? You say to a child, will you share those sweets? And you can see their whole body language. Do I have to? Now, actually, I think adults can feel that, but we're just better at hiding it, aren't we? So as we give, it's not a sense of we're being forced to. It's not my place as a church minister to try to force anybody to give. It's my place to teach the Bible and what it has to say. And that's what we're doing this morning. You know what I mean? In the past, it is sometimes appropriate for me to directly ask somebody, are you, who's part of the church family, are you giving to the church? But I shouldn't be there to try to twist or guilt people into giving. And did you notice? It is a decision. Please look with me at verse 7 again. Each of you should give what you have decided. Now, you make up your mind. It's not a reaction, a response. It should be thought about, prayed about, carefully considered. Now, there's no rule on this. But I try, me and Amanda try, have a habit of looking at our giving once a year. And sort of reviewing it. Sometimes it's stayed the same. If you have a pay rise, sometimes it's gone up. Sometimes if there's a pay cut, it's gone down. Sometimes it's been no pay rise, but it's still gone up because circumstances have changed. God knows that. He expects us to take into account all these different things as we consider our giving before him. But it's not just a decision, because it is a heart issue again, isn't it? Look at verse 7 again. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, giving to God for a follower of Jesus, it's not always comfortable. I mean, it might be painful, it might be sacrificial, but it should also be done cheerfully. I would go as far to say, don't give if you can't do it cheerfully, because you're doing it reluctantly. You're not doing it as if I want to do it. Someone might give because they're doing it out of guilt. They might be doing it, you know what I mean? So they don't have to do a particular job in church. And I know some larger churches where they have a bit of a staff and things. And, you know what I mean? I'm going to give to the church because I don't want to do that job at church. I'd rather pay someone to do it. That's not a good reason to give, is it? Someone might give so they can be known to be a generous giver. Again, not a good reason at all. Just a quick aside on that point, actually. Please be assured, details about who gives and how much is given is only known by our treasurer and one other trustee who helps with the finances. I do not know. I do not want to know. So giving, it should be joyful. To know that you're serving God's church in this way should be a source of joy for us. And I know for many of us, we know that reality. And if you struggle with giving in this way, pray that God would change your heart so that you can be joyful in it. So giving comes from the heart. Let me just mention at this point, as a bit of an aside, the whole question about tithing or 10% that sometimes comes up. Now, I'm not convinced that the idea of 10% or tithing is actually there in the New Testament. The tithe is in the Old Testament, and it's only actually part of what God's people were encouraged to give to God's work. So it's not straightforward, I think, to say that the Bible teaches that Christians should give 10%. I'm not convinced of that. I know some churches do teach that, but I'm not convinced actually Scripture warrants it. Now, 10% could be a good starting point or a good target, if you like. Might be a helpful guideline, but it's so easy to fiddle the books here. I mean, I've heard people say this, that is it 10% before tax or after tax? Or is it 10% after I've paid the mortgage or my disposable income? It's so easy. We get so caught up with the numbers. I mean, for some Christians, perhaps Christians who are at university and they've taken out a student loan, I mean, I'm not convinced they should be tithing out of money they've borrowed to pay for their, to get through university. I mean, if it's a choice between giving and feeding your children, feed your children. Let's be straight here. If your income is so tight that feeding your family is a struggle, we do not want your money here at Cornerstone Church, even if you're following the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Feed your kids. But if the choice is between Sky TV and giving generously to the church, well, I think the answer is perhaps obvious. For some Christians in the West, actually, tithing actually might be considered a bare minimum. I know one preacher in the States put it this way. Tithing is the middle class way of ripping off God. Because actually, some people are so wealthy, they should be giving way more than 10%. So whether we're giving nothing, 2%, 10%, 15%, whatever, give according to our means. Look to be generous, look to be sacrificial, look to be joyful in it. And if you haven't reviewed your giving recently, please do so. You might have never got round to doing it. You know, intend to do so, but just never got round to thinking about it. Well, it's perhaps time to start. There's lots of ways to give, and there's a number of details on the church website. Please do have a look there. I know some of us here would prefer to be able to give an in-person collection. And as soon as the COVID rules allow, we will start having a collection here on Sunday for people who want to give that way. But I do know that actually that most people who give by standing orders and things like that. So many people won't actually put anything in, which is fine. And if you're a taxpayer and haven't signed up to gift aid, please do so, because it means the government gives us an extra 20% on what you give. It really does help. Well, my last point, why do we do this? Well, it's for God's glory. Please look with me at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Christian giving gives glory to God. Not just the act of doing it or setting up the standing order or putting the cash in the bag or plate each week. People give thanks to God because of Christian giving. It helps us to realize that God's work through the church is important to God. More important than so many things that our world chases. When I sat down preparing this sermon, I trust that God will use. When I was preparing this sermon, and the time that you guys make available for me to serve the church, and give thanks to God for the salary you guys provide. As visiting becomes possible again, it's God that makes the time possible for that to happen, to chat and pray and to crack open the Bible together. As we meet week by week here, it's God who provides the money to rent this building so we can give glory to God together, so the light of Jesus can shine that bit more brightly here in Grace. Christian giving causes thanks and glory to God, to our Heavenly Father. And that is a good thing. But it does more, though, because it also strengthens Christian fellowship as well. I'm much more likely to pray, to read newsletters, to ask about people when I'm also financially involved as well. Again, it brings more glory to God. So giving comes from God's resources, giving comes from the heart, and it gives glory to God. And if you haven't looked at it for a while, please take the time to sit down and revisit it. Some Christians actually find it helpful to do a budget. It can be helpful just controlling your money generally, but it also can help in making godly decisions about money. But as we finish, let's just read our last verse, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, this gift actually is ultimately Jesus, isn't it? And as it's Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit as well. God the Father has given us his Son, has given us the Holy Spirit, the Jesus who came and gave up everything to hang on a rough wooden cross for you and me. The Son who gave up everything to give us eternal life. Now, Paul here hasn't suddenly gone on a tangent. He takes us to the very heart of Christian giving. Our Lord and Saviour who gave up and gave us everything. Now, it's not wrong for a Christian to drive a car or to have Sky TV or to go on holiday. However, the more we know and love Jesus, the more God will shape us into generous and joyful and sacrificial givers. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we can never outgive you. You have given us so, so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we give to your church, as we give to those who are struggling and who are in poverty, we can never outgive you. Thank you for the generous hearts that you have been growing in many of us, Father. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to grow us in that way. May you continue to provide for the church family here and for the ministry of Cornerstone and for Jesus to be made known more clearly around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.